As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there is a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Wednesday, August the 19th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today with our returning guest, independent researcher Daryl Eberhardt, to continue our study of the discussion of the bloody history of Papal Rome. You're not going to want to miss a moment of today's two-hour broadcast. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely not alone, but you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where we stir things up quite a bit. Freedom is popular, certainly, and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. And be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join us on air. And from around America and around the world, you can also call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Like Become Vocal Local, bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of the small town Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter, Mo, 65647. A big shout-out to Liberty Radio in Owensville, Missouri, Mike Gross, 1650 AM in Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Again, our listener call-in number is 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. Got a frog in my throat this morning. Currencies and metals decline on a stronger U.S. dollar. Crude below the $70 mark. We'll talk about that in a moment. Of course, returning guest, independent researcher Daryl Eberhardt, is going to continue our study and discussion of the bloody history of Papal Rome. And so, let's go into the market reports for today, Wednesday, August the 19th, 2009. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but 1 hour ago. Gold was trading off $4 at $934.10 an ounce. Silver was off 34 cents, trading below 14 again at $13.63 an ounce. Platinum up $2 at $1,229. Palladium off $4, trading at $268 an ounce. The lows and the highs in this morning's gold spot market, 930 for 0.40 for a low, 941 for a high, so we got about a spread of $10 there, $11. At $934.10 an ounce, gold is up $148 an ounce year to year from 1 year ago today for an 18.83% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix was set this morning at 934.25. You can see it 934.10. We're only 15 cents off what they set it in London. The Dow Jones Industrial Average and the other equities closed yesterday. The Dow was up 83 at 92.18. The NASDAQ was up 25 at 19.56. The S&P was up $10 or 10 points, I guess you'd say, at 990. The crude oil off 63 cents at $68.56 a barrel. The U.S. dollar index up 28 basis points, trading at 79.13. In the foreign exchange rates, well, we don't have time for that. We'll be back right after this break, folks, with our very special guest, Daryl Eberhardt. Stay with us.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, August the 19th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. I'm joined again today by Daryl Eberhardt to continue our study of this discussion of what is very real and very truly the bloody history of Papal Rome. And I hope, listeners, that you can understand and appreciate that it's so very important to listen to everybody, read everything that you can get your hands on. But then, because of the time of man that we live in, we have to be so very careful not to believe the things that we read and the things that we hear on first glance. We need to prove out some of this in our own research. And that's certainly why I value Daryl Eberhardt's contribution to the research community, if you will. He's taken the time to go in and tackle the tough topics, if you will, and to really stir things up. He's not at all afraid to come out and talk about things that are controversial, maybe upset the apple cart a little bit. But if we can move towards truth and more freedom in this new millennium, if you will, certainly in this first 100 years of the 21st century, if we can do that, I think we will have gained substantial ground. Good morning, Daryl, and thanks for coming back and joining us again here on Become Vocal Local.
Hey, good morning, William, and it's good to be back on with you. And some of those apple carts I've tipped over have upset, I think, some of the local Knights of the Columbus in my area. And by the way, folks, although most of this that we're talking about in this series that I'm calling kind of missing gaps in history, it just so happens that most of those missing gaps in history concern Papal Rome. It's not that I'm just deliberately went out and tried to pick on Papal Rome. It's just that when I started investigating a lot of history and turning stones over, I came up with a lot of papal machinations and sedition and assassination and that, and especially in the last 400 years, just about every stone I started to turn underneath it was a Jesuit. And that doesn't mean that there's like a communist under every bed or a Jesuit under every bed. But unfortunately, in a lot of the nasty goings on behind the scenes, quite frequently we do find a Jesuit advisor, a Jesuit father confessor to a king or prime minister, or even to the king's mistress, et cetera, helping to fan, or as they say, fan the flames of a war revolution, as they did during that bloody 30 years war, 1618 to 1648 in Europe. So, and I do want to let them know, William, I love many individual Roman Catholics, since most of my relatives are Roman Catholic, most of my friends are Roman Catholic. So it's not picking on individual Roman Catholics. It's going after a system that every 50 to 100 years seems to go on a mass murder spree.
Well, I'm so blessed to get emails from our listeners on a regular basis. I got a whole boatload of them over the weekend. And after the broadcast on Wednesday, I got a couple of them. They hadn't tuned into the earlier broadcast and hadn't gone back to the archives, and so they didn't know who you were or how we got onto this thread. So maybe you just spend just a minute or two and give people a little bit of your background again, your intelligence background, that sort of thing, so that they understand where you're coming from just a little bit better.
Sure. First, we'll start from the secular side of the house, and that is my military and intelligence community background. And of course, I had 20 years in the military, 11 and a half in the U.S. Air Force, 8 and a half in the U.S. Army. I'm rounding things off here. And all in military intelligence. I learned Russian and Arabic languages, worked as an analyst, reporter, linguist. And then after I retired, I spent 6 years as a Department of Defense civilian working for the National Security Agency. So, had a top secret special intelligence clearance with a whole bunch of extra little additives. And my religious background is kind of the one that ties in more maybe with what we're doing with this Syria missing gaps in history, because, like I said, a lot of the stones I've turned, I find wrongdoing going on behind the scenes by Papal Rome, including mass murder of Jews, mass murder of Orthodox Christians, mass murder of independent Bible-believing Christian groups like the Albigenses and Waldenses, and I don't know if I said it, but mass murder of Jews, of course. So throughout history, mass murder, of course, of the regular Protestant groups like the French Huguenots and the Bohemian Protestants in Czechoslovakia. So it's just a very horrible, bloody history, but it's important that the listeners know that my dad is Roman Catholic. He's 86 years old. Probably 90% of my relatives are Roman Catholic. I grew up here in southwest central Pennsylvania, a little town called Crescent, that's probably about 75% Roman Catholic. But if you go down the road 2 to 3 miles and most directions, you run into Glitzen, which is about 90% Roman Catholic, Loretta, which is 90% Roman Catholic. So as you can see, I was born and raised in a sea of Roman Catholicism. My mom was Methodist, and my brother and I were brought up in the Methodist church. Later on, I did go to a mass a couple times with my dad when I first entered the military, the Air Force, and when I came back on leave. And I married a beautiful, wonderful Roman Catholic lady back in the late 60s, and took Roman Catholic catechism courses when I was stationed in the Air Force, attending Russian language courses at Syracuse University. So I've got a very good introduction or whatever to Roman Catholicism, even though I never converted to Roman Catholicism. I did take the catechism courses, but I never converted. And I later attended independent Baptist, independent fundamental churches. So basically, 90% of my relatives and friends are Roman Catholic, and I can't hate Roman Catholics because most of my loved ones are still Roman Catholic.
Exactly. So, we'll get to it as we go through all of these very missing gaps and things like that. But over the last weekend, as I was doing more study along this line, it was just kind of like a mushrooming population of Catholics into the colonies and into the states as the United States developed. That wasn't the case originally, but it was the case afterwards. And, of course, we received people from all over the world with all of their various and sundry sects and religions and so on. So there has been a continual increase in the number of Catholics in the country. You'd be hard-pressed to live in just about any country or any city or any town that didn't have a Catholic church in it. So this is not an attack on people on their faith from the standpoint of faith and belief systems and how you organize your life. We're not going after the branches here. We're going after the roots. We're looking at the missing history, that which has been suppressed, as the legal maxim runs. It's suppressio viri, the suppression of truth, which for hundreds of years has been understood as fraud. And so we kind of have a fraudulent outlook because of the removals, intentional removals of so much valuable history that doesn't really help us to understand who we are and whose we are in this time period. And so I'm hoping, Daryl, that as we go through this, we'll be able to bring to light some of those missing pieces.
Right. And we finished up last week with William Tyndale. And before we jump on and go any further in history, it's hard to understand certain parts of history if you don't look through the proper magnifying glass or lens. And I'd mentioned, I think, last week that one of them that we need to look through for the last, say, 400-plus years of history is of course, the Reformation versus the Counter-Reformation.
Okay.
And also we need
hold it right there, and we'll pick it up on the other side of this break, folks. Stay with us. Back in three.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Thank you.
in talk radio circles, everybody knows about Hegel and his dialectic, but if we really understand this idea of the dialectic and want to take it back, we can stop and visit for a moment with Machiavelli, or if we could reach all the way back to the Peloponnesian Wars, of which Thucydides was the historian. But there's nothing really new under the sun, as they say, and there's certainly nothing new about the idea of a dialectic, a thesis, an antithesis that moves towards either a predetermined outcome or synthesis, or we might think of it from the standpoint, and Daryl, we've talked about it on this broadcast before, the idea of revolution and counter-revolution. But as we were going into the break, you brought into our attention this very important period of time where we have a reformation or reforming of religion or churchianity, if you will, and then the counter-revolution, the counter-reformation process, an absolutely important, very potent time period. Why don't we pick it up right there for today's broadcast?
Right. Well, we'll be getting into that history later on. I just wanted to mention that we need to look kind of like through a magnifying glass or a lens, special lens, in order to really understand the behind-the-scenes activity in history. And I mentioned, of course, to understand the last 400 plus years, we need to look at it through the Reformation versus the Counter-Reformation. And what I was going to jump back to was that to really, we need to look at the first, I'd say almost the last 1700 years through a magnifying glass or a lens called the Relentless War on the Holy Bible. And I don't think a lot of people realize this war is still going on today, and it started back really. Probably we could give the first big step to Diocletian, and I was during the break, I grabbed my dictionary here, and Diocletian was the Roman emperor from 284 to 305 A.D. He was born and died 245, 313. So Diocletian, as far as I know, he was the first emperor to really, pagan Roman emperor, I should say, of imperial Rome, to go after Bibles. And he burned a lot of Bibles. And this is the time when the church is, the churches we see today, especially the Roman Catholic Church, it's in its infancy. It's not the oldest church. The oldest church was at Jerusalem, and then there was a church at Antioch and other places before there was ever one in Rome. But basically, we've got to look at this war, and we talked about Tyndale when we finished up, and let's jump back in history, because I think when we started out with the Albigensian Crusades in 1200. And let's just go back and do kind of like just a snapshot picture of this war on the Bible. Now, I mentioned Diocletian started it out, and they destroyed most of the copies of the Bible. So there's a book by David W. Daniels, and I'll tell them how to get it later, maybe after the next break. It's called Did the Catholic Church Give Us the Bible? Let me just get some quotes, and I've got a listing of quotations on my computer here, and I have a section for David W. Daniels. And I just want to read some of these because it'll show there were actually two streams or trails or paths for the Bible. We had, I'll let him start out with this great quote on page 31 of his book, Did the Catholic Church Give Us the Bible? He says, New Testament letters and Gospels had, and I'm adding the words had at that time, only recently been written. So churches traded and copied them, and these scrolls were all gathered together in one important city, Antioch of Syria. I would add that the Bible says that's the first place that the Christians were called Christians. Anyway, back to the quote. Soon they were all collected into a single Bible, and he calls this the Northern Stream or Trail here. So this Northern Stream or Trail, emanating from Antioch, Syria, I'm adding, was God's preserved words in Greek. Now, we've got to remember that the Bible was first written, the New Testament was written in Greek. So here's the next quote from page 40 of his book, and I'm adding this first introduction here. People called the Vaudois, later and alternately called the Waldenses, were living, and here's the quote, in the Piedmont valleys of the Alps at the northwest corner of Italy, east of France, in about 120 A.D., some got saved, in other words, became genuine Christians, and went to Antioch in Syria to receive God's words. So we're going to see who were the first people, Europeans, that started bringing the Bible. And just for the listener's information, one of the books in the New Testament, one of the Paul's epistles, is called Galatians. Now, those were Gauls that had come from the area of France and had settled in Galatia. So some of the language there, things that we see, will pick up on. The next quote is from page 41. He says, "The old Latin Bible spread so wide." Now, this Latin Bible is called the Vulgate. It's the first Vulgate. It's not the Roman Catholic Vulgate. This Vulgate existed long before. So anyways, back to the quote. "The old Latin Bible spread so wide all the way to England before 200 A.D. that Christians called it the Vulgate or Common Bible. And the Vaudois," and he means Waldensian. Vaudois is just a French word, listeners, for Waldensian. "The Vaudois missionaries spread God's words even down to Rome two by two." And they used to send out their missionaries two by two. And the next quote, David W. Daniels. Interesting quote. "It took 900 years for the Catholics to destroy most old Latin Bibles and kill their owners." Remember, this is the original Latin Vulgate that was carried by the Waldensian missionaries. "Then God moved one man," he's talking about John Wycliffe, "to translate God's words from Old Latin into English. By 1380, he translated the New Testament, and by 1382, the complete English Bible." Now, his next quote is on page 73 about Martin Luther. He says, "Martin Luther had already been reading Erasmus's Greek New Testament." By the way, that's a translation made from the true manuscripts, the over 5,000 manuscripts, "since 1516. In 1522, Martin Luther made his translation," and of course he means into the German language, "of the New Testament. In 1534, he finished the entire Bible." Okay, we're going to go to another quote. Now we're getting to Tyndale, the man that we finished up with last week, who got strangled and then burned at the stake for the great and heinous crime of translating the Bible into language of the people, English. And here's the quote. "In 1525, William Tyndale published the first preserved English New Testament." And the next quote, page 79. "The same day that Tyndale died," he was executed by being strangled, "his Bible was being printed by the king's own printer. And the very next year, the Coverdale Bible, a revision of Tyndale's English Bible, was printed by..." Let me see here. He doesn't say who, but it's King Henry VIII's command. Okay, next quote by David W. Daniels again from his book, "Did the Catholic Church Give Us the Bible?" "God's words were published, perfectly translated in English. Soon King James held the book, which we now know as the Bible. The authorized version is simply the King James Bible." So I'm running through the history here. Here's a little earlier thing now. And my computer's playing with me here a little bit. David W. Daniels, page 31, he says, now remember, Antioch was the city that the true Bible started out with, the Greek translation of the New Testament. Here's going to tell us about the bad Bibles that were based on 2 to 5 corrupt manuscripts, mostly Roman Catholic manuscripts because they're called like Vaticanus, Fanaticus. But here's what he says. "But there was another city, 317 miles southwest of Jerusalem, Alexandria, Egypt. In that city, the intellectuals," and he has intellectuals in quote marks, "perverted the words of God." Here's another quote about false Bibles. "The main source of the false Bible, as we know it today, was one particular scholar named Origen. Origen was not a Bible believer. He didn't believe in the Old Testament miracles. He didn't believe in many of Jesus' words or stories. He didn't believe that the Holy Spirit was eternal. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ is Almighty God." So there's a guy that helped to really have an influence on the Roman Catholic Bibles. Another comment about Origen by David W. Daniels. He says, "Origen made up a strange Greek Bible. He pasted together his own Greek Old Testament, mixed with some old folk tales called the Apocrypha, and added his own perverted New Testament. His counterfeit Bible was copied by other scholars," and of course scholars is in quotes.
Okay, hold it right there. We'll be back right after this break, folks. Got a break on the bottom of the hour. We'll be back in 3 minutes with Daryl Everhart.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with 2 cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, folks, our call-in numbers are in the Austin, Texas area, or if you have unlimited long-distance access, it's 512-904-8014. And internationally, toll-free around the world, 866-841-1065. Your calls are welcome. Also, we're visiting with Daryl Eberhardt again today, looking at some of these tough issues. And if you want to find out more directly from the source, you can go right to his website today, www.toughissues.org. That's toughissues.org. And Daryl, let's pick it up right there. You were just getting into origin and some of the various and sundry corrupted versions of the text and the scriptures, and maybe we could continue along that thread a bit.
Right, and if they go up on toughissues.org, they can read an article I've got up there. It's called The Real Bible, that covers in much more detail than we're going to cover today this topic of these two different streams of Bibles and the persecution, actually the war on Bible believers and their Bibles is covered in, I think it's probably about a 20 or 25 page, I'm guessing, document that's up there on toughissues.org. But anyway, the reason we're covering this is that I mentioned we had a Pontifex Maximus named Diocletian who started this burning of Bibles. And then after the Imperial Roman Empire fell, we had a different Pontifex Maximus take over, and that was the Pope of Rome. And he continued on what Diocletian had started, and they, for century after century after century, burned Bibles when they especially for about 900 years, they went after every copy of that original Latin Vulgate of the Waldensian Christians, also called the Vaudois in France. But they went after those Bibles with a purple passion to try to destroy them all and to substitute in their place Jerome's Latin Vulgate. They even took the same name that the people were calling the original Latin Vulgate and applied that name to their Latin version. So anyway, here's his quote here. David W. Daniels, again, we're running through his quotes from an excellent book, Did the Catholic Church Give Us the Bible? And I'll tell them a phone number how they can get that later. But he says, the scholars at Alexandria, and he has scholars in little quote marks, the scholars at Alexandria, Egypt, wrote these three Bible perversions, Sinaiticus, about 350 A.D., Vaticanus, before 400 A.D., and Alexandrius, about 450 A.D., these scholarly, and again, it's in a little quote mark, so he's kind of poking fun at it. Those scholarly Bibles disagree over 3,000 times, and he means with each other, in the four Gospels alone. They are what you call false witnesses. So we can see that when they couldn't burn all the Bibles, they instead tried to substitute their own Bibles for them. Here's another good quote, and he's talking about, the Vaudois, those Bible-believing Waldensian Christians. He says, the Vaudois and others across the Roman Empire had God's words preserved in their old, and I'm adding the word true, Latin Bible. And these early Christians called the old Latin Bible the Vulgate. Back to the quote. They knew that Rome was the whore of Babylon, and so one day the Pope, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Siricius, C-S-I-R-I-C-I-U-S, 384 to 399. By the way, he's the first Roman bishop to call himself Pontifex Maximus, which was the title of the pagan Roman emperors. Here's what he said. One day the Pope declared, we need our own Bible. From 382 to 390 A.D., Jerome, another intellectual like Origen, worked on his rewrite of the true old Latin Bible. And he has in parentheses here, Jerome rejected God's preserved old Latin. At first, he just translated his Latin Bible from Origen's Greek counterfeit, the so-called Septuagint. A lot of his Bible was like Origen's Septuagint perversion, but he still changed certain words to read like his own scholarly interpretation, again in quotes, of the Hebrew. The final insult was the name of Jerome's disaster. They called it the Roman Catholic Latin Vulgate. Another quote going on in this history of the war against the Bible. As soon as John Wycliffe died, and he's the one who translated God's words from Old Latin into English, soon to be Roman Catholic John Purvey started perverting that English language Bible. Each year, Wycliffe's Bible was changed to look like an English version of the Roman Catholic Vulgate, again, the Latin Vulgate. Here's another quote by David W. Daniels, page 111. He says, the Jesuits didn't mind various Roman Catholic versions of the Bible. They themselves made the Douay Rheims, but they hated one Bible with a bloodthirsty passion, the King James Bible. They vowed to destroy it. And let me see here. I don't want to get into other quotes, just the ones that are dealing with the Bible here. But this tremendous book. Oh, here's one about Westcott and Hort. And these guys, by the way, Anglicans, but if they're not on the Jesuit payroll, I don't know who would be. He says both of them, meaning Westcott and Hort, were respected professors who moved through high society, rubbing shoulders with occultists and psychics. Westcott and Hort also believed in evolution and held the preserved Bible in utter contempt. In 1853, they began their evil task to revise the King James Bible. The Church of England gave Westcott and Hort minimum permission to change the English Bible when necessary. What did they, means Westcott and Hort, bring in? They brought in the Vatican's counterfeit Bible. In other words, instead of the Greek that was from the over 5,000 manuscripts, the Textus Receptus, instead of translating from the correct manuscripts, they took from those 2 to 5 corrupt manuscripts and basically gave us a revised standard version of the Bible from the King James, which they were not supposed to do. They were supposed to just make some corrections on spelling or something, but they were not to change the Bible, and they totally changed it. So all of your newer versions, are based, as to the best of my knowledge, William, all of the newer versions are based on their New Testament translation from the Greek, are from 2 to 5 corrupt manuscripts out of papal Rome. And he finishes up with a great quote here showing what happens to people who promote these newer Bibles like the NIV, etc. He says, in 1997, wealthy media mogul Rupert Murdoch received papal knighthood. Isn't that interesting? Papal knighthood for promoting the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope's interests. This Roman Catholic Bible version, he's referring to the New International Version, the NIV, is Rupert's bestseller. Let's face it, Roman Catholic Bible versions have become big business. Let's just take a quick look at the war on the... Go ahead.
I might jump in right there and just simply understand, folks, that when we're told to be careful and not to change it so much as a jot or a tittle, the jots and the tittles have a lot to do with pronunciations. They have a lot to do in the Paleo Hebrew and even in modern Hebrew. They have a lot to do with the meanings of the words. You know, there were no vowels provided, and so any little changes like that. If you drop a comma today, next week you drop the semicolon, and you can go through and you can change all law. You can change all text that way. These little teeny things. And one of the things that they were dealing with in their time, Daryl, I'm sure you're very well aware of it, is that, folks, this was all hand-copied. One copy would be, copied from another. They would be very careful. They would have people looking over their shoulders. But at the same time, when you're doing hand copies, you can change things around. Those jots and tittles can creep in. And as they do, perversion can occur. And today, with the digital media that we've got, there's no way that you go back on a website that you could really discern whether something has been changed unless you've done a screen capture. So, you know, we've got the same problem today where we had a period of time from the beginning printing presses. Once you set something in type and print out 1,000 copies or 2,000 copies, they're all going to be the same, and they're going to be the same forever as long as they're extant. But, I'm just trying to bring that in, is that it is easier than you might think to make these changes, and far more believable than some would have you understand.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to let the listeners know that people who have really done tons and tons of research in this area, far, far more than I have, like Dr. D.A. Waite and a few others, what they have found is that these Bible versions that came out of Alexandria or were found like down in the Sinai, the Sinaiticus, what they have found is that you can see that somebody was making a lot of changes. There's erasures made, there's words written in, and not always very skillfully done, so that it's very easy to see that anything that they didn't like, that pointed more to the deity of Christ, etc., they just did a little couple word erasures, and that is very, very serious. As you had mentioned, in Deuteronomy 4:2, it says we're not to add to God's word, and we're not to take away from it. So it only takes a few words changed here or there, or dropping maybe 6 or 8 verses out of that, like they did out of the end of the Gospel of Mark, to really water down the gospel. And that's really what happened. I've got one final quote from David W. Daniels, and then we'll move on a little bit.
Well, we're right up against the break again here, so let's hold that to the other side.
Okay.
We'll get out some of the references. Again, folks, the website is toughissues.org, toughissues.org. We'll be right back right after this break. Stay with us.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Ah!
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
And we've returned here on the last segment of the first hour of today's two-hour broadcast. We're visiting again with Daryl Everhart. As we're going into the break, we were looking at basically forgeries, amendations, changes, corruptions, if you will. Folks, when I first started out as an engineering office boy and drafter, one of the things that we did in those days was we drew on linen with ink. And it was very, very, very difficult when you're drawing on cloth like that, a coated cloth, to make corrections. In order to do it, you had to go in with a knife and very carefully scrape away your ink, whatever it was that you had drawn, a line, a word, or whatever. You have to carefully scrape it away with an X-Acto knife or a razor blade. And you have to come back and you have to paint back on a coating that will hold the ink, then redraw whatever you're doing. And so if we can understand that there have been over the years not only the opportunity but also the incentive to change the way that text material is prepared and preserved and passed along, but also, and Daryl, you probably experienced this yourself using Strong's Concordance or any of the other concordances when you go in and you do a word study. Folks, the most ignorant Greek cab driver knows Greek far better than I would ever learn it. As far as Hebrew is concerned, any schoolboy going to yeshiva would be able to facilitate Hebrew better than I can. But as I labor over some of these verses, trying to translate them into the original tongues and understand better and get a grasp of it, it's so difficult. So you can imagine the magnitude of the task that faced Tyndale and Luther and Erasmus and the others as they tried to bring this towards a common understanding, translating from Hebrew into French or from French into German, etc. Very difficult to do. And so we're at the mercy of the translator. We're at the mercy of their spirit that's guiding their hands, their accuracy, their scholarship, etc. So it's really little no surprise at all to find all of these various perverted forms out there.
Right, and the one thing that folks can get, you don't have to be a Greek or a Hebrew scholar, is you can get an interlinear translation where you'll have the Hebrew Masoretic with the English under it, and you'll have the Greek New Testament with the English under it. And what you can do is, like you said, you can go to these various concordances, and there's other working aids that have been printed to help you better understand some of the nuances of the word. And if something doesn't really make a lot of sense to you the way it's translated in the Bible that you have, just, you know, grab a lexicon or something and check it out yourself. And sometimes you can get some really interesting meanings. I'm not saying that they're totally different, but they can give you nuances and stuff of the language that can help you better understand what the original translator was doing. I think the King James translators did an excellent job. They were under some constraints personal names and that. They weren't supposed to make any changes there. And what's interesting about Hebrew especially is the names often have meanings to their own.
Exactly.
So that's what would be my main recommendation. If I was to recommend one Bible to English-speaking peoples, it would clearly be the King James Bible, because, number one, it uses the Masoretic Hebrew text for the basis of its translation for the Old Testament into English, and it uses the Textus Receptus, the received text, the overwhelming majority of the manuscripts for translating the Greek New Testament into English. And the thing that it does, as far as the best of my knowledge, that the other newer versions doesn't, is that it uses a verbatim, a word-for-word translation technique. And as someone who worked in the military, anytime we had important communications we intercepted, we transcribed those verbatim. And how can we do less with God's Word? The newer versions, to the best of my knowledge, all use what they call a dynamic equivalence. In other words, whoever's translating it just kind of puts down what he thinks that the original writers intended. And what you end up with sometimes is paraphrases, etc. So be very careful on the newer versions there. Let me tell them how to get this, because I don't know whether you have some of the listeners that maybe just listen to the first hour and move on, but this book, David W. Daniels, it's a fine little paperback. I'll just give you the phone number. If you don't want to use a credit card, then ask them for the address. But it's called Did the Catholic Church Give Us the Bible? It's illustrated by Jack Chick. But the writer or author is David W. Daniels. It's a 159-page paperback, nice little glossy cover, has a nice index. I always love subject indexes in the back for looking stuff up. But you can get that by calling 909-987-0771. I'll give the phone number a second time. I think it's $12.10 postage paid into U.S. location, so a decent price for a nice little book. Again, the phone number is 909-987-0771, and it's called Did the Catholic Church Give Us the Bible, and it's published by Chick Publications. There's two great little books that I had mentioned to you, William, when we first started talking this morning. And I've never mentioned these to people because I just got them for myself. But if they want to read some of the how sun worship got into the early Christian church, basically from the Babylonian mystery religions and that, a lot of it came from Persia, with the sun god Mithra there, got into the Greek, Greco-Roman world. But I'll just give them a website and they can go up and look for these two books. They'll tell you how to get them. I can give them a toll-free 9-2. The one book is called Too Long in the Sun, and both of these books are by Richard Reeves, and he spells his name R-I-V-E-S, but pronounces it Reeves. But the first book is Too Long in the Sun, and it deals primarily with Easter, Christmas, and Sunday rest that came from these sun worship religions and how they got into Christianity.
And I have that book in my library. I've had it in my library for years and I've read it several times. And folks, it's very easy. It's very introductory as far as the material is concerned. It seems to be in alignment with other research that I've done. And so I can hardly concur, Daryl, that would be a good addition to anyone's library. And as we bring out this information, Daryl, you know, on this network and on others, there are a lot of people in this day and age who are not believers, that don't follow any of the religions. But that shouldn't take away from the study of something so important, because there are billions of people, folks, throughout all of history that have followed this. And if we want to rightly understand where we are, who we are, and whose we are, these are inquiries that I think we must make.
And his second book is called Time is the Ally of Deceit. And it gets into a lot of history of the early Roman emperors, and like we talked about, their Diocletian burning Bibles and that. But it just gets into a ton of the early history of the church. And that's an area where I've been fairly lacking in. I've kind of tried to concentrate more on World War II and the American Civil War and those areas. But an excellent book. But they can get both of these books by calling a toll-free number. And as I said, they're both excellent paperbacks, nice glossy covers. The toll-free line is 877-992-8865. I'll give it again, 877-992-8865. And if they want to see what the books look like and get a little information about them, there's a website that they can go to. It's www.toolong.com, and two is T-O-O, so that'd be www.toolong.com.
Okay, great. And you're going to be opportunity, folks, if you miss any of that, go back, get to the archives. You can listen to it and repeat it over and over until you can write it down. And just, we've got about 1 minute left before we go to break again, and I don't want to crowd this in, but you had mentioned that there were some books that you discovered from the Trine Day Publishers, one of our sponsors, also.
Right, yeah. Dr. Mary's Monkey is the one that I heard during the break. I have it. It gives you some of the background, some really interesting background stuff to the JFK assassination, a lot of interesting tie-ins that I have not found in probably about seven or eight other books that I have on the JFK assassination. And there's another book that I have. I've got about six or seven other books, but the second one here is Without Smoking Gun, was the death of Lieutenant Commander William Bruce Pitzer, part of the JFK assassination cover-up conspiracy, and it was, by Kent Heiner. And again, some interesting facts about the JFK assassination that you're not going to find in the other JFK conspiracy books, if you want to call them that. So I would really highly recommend both of those books, Dr. Mary's Monkey and Without Smoking Gun. By the way, Lieutenant Commander William Bruce Pitzer, he was in charge of the audiovisual shop there at Bethesda Naval Hospital, and he was getting ready to pass out that, trying to get the information to the public, when he was suicided in his office. So that's a very interesting book.
Okay, well, we're going to go into our top of the hour break, folks. We'll be back in a couple of minutes to begin hour number two. Stay right there, Daryl. Stay right there, audience. We will return.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail, and it's a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic food,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.org or Broadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website, again, is amazon.oraclebroadcasting.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, August the 19th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we begin our second hour of today's broadcast. We come to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and again, I'm visiting with Daryl Eberhardt, our returning guest. We're continuing our study of this long history of Papal Rome and all manner and sundry of related intrigues, if you will, including a little bit of etch-a-sketch that's been going on with the Bible and coming to some understanding in that. You know, as we're coming into the top of the hour on the other side, folks, and if you missed it, you can go back and access the archives for the first hour of this morning's broadcast. But so often in this world, we're led into this idea of opinions. You know, I like to think that opinions are so much like elbows. Basically, we're all born with more than one of them, and they're easily bent to suit whatever purpose is at hand. But on these broadcasts, and especially with a researcher as competent as Daryl, we're not talking about necessarily opinions here. Throughout the broadcast, Daryl quotes his quotes, he cites his sources, he provides you contact information where you can get the books and other material, the DVDs, etc., from which he's drawing a lot of this information, so that we can be not necessarily those that feed you every morning with fish, so to speak, to use the analogy, but to teach you how to fish. There may come a time where these kind of broadcasts won't be allowed any longer. They might be considered hate or hateful or something. And you're going to need to have these tools in your own research library and an understanding of how to go about ferreting them out for yourself. But here in this very first segment, Daryl, it's such a short segment. Let's continue maybe for about 2 minutes worth, and then we'll go into a break and come back for a longer segment.
Right, we'll give them that final quote, Darren. I just want to let them know that the Roman Catholic Church's hierarchy, again for centuries, to summarize this, forbade the common man to own, possess, or even to read the Holy Bible, especially in his native language. The few Bibles that were out there were in Latin, and they were generally only for scholars to read. As a matter of fact, the Roman Catholic Church for centuries taught that you could go crazy or you would become a super heretic because you'd misinterpret the Bible, so don't even look at it. And not only, of course, did the popes frequently forbid the ownership and possession of the Bible, but they also commanded the state to impose strict penalties, often death or execution, on those who were caught even with a copy of the Holy Bible in their possession. You weren't even allowed to pray in your home except in Latin. Isn't that interesting in England? But here's the final quote by David W. Daniels. From his book, Did the Catholic Church Give Us the Bible, about the track record, part of the track record of the Roman Catholic hatred of the Bible possession and ownership by common people. Here's what he says, quote, "The Word of God, check out this history, 1229, Synod of Toulouse forbids reading or owning a Vaudois Bible." Remember, again, that would have been in the true Latin Vulgate. 1234, Council of Tarragona, no Bible permitted in one's own native language. All of them must be burned. This is a very short quote. 1408, Third Synod of Oxford, heresy to have an unauthorized, in other words, a preserved English translation of the Bible. 1559, Council of Trent, preserved Bibles are on the index of forbidden books. Rule number 3, and that's from page 88 of his thing. Let me give him one final quote. We got time for it. Here's a statement by Pope Pius IV. Pope 1559 to 1565, he says, "The Holy Bible is not for the people. Whosoever will be saved must renounce it. It is a forbidden book. Bible societies are satanic contrivances."
Well, this is just, you know, it's so typical. It's amazing, you know, to really get into it once you do, folks, and you understand the depth of this control system. using a team up, if you will, between government and church in this way, and controlling the dialogue and controlling the textual matter, you're really at their mercy. Well, we'll pick it up. We're at the mercy of this break. We'll pick it up on the other side and be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again right here on our Wednesday, August the 19th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Back from our top-of-the-hour break where some of our affiliates and micros are away at their news and weather report. We are visited once again with our very special guest, Daryl Everhart. As I wrap my tongue around, I'm trying to remember these quotes I want to get out. Daryl, you're so full of quotes yourself, sometimes I have to draw from memory, but it was Goethe that said, "There's nothing more terrifying than ignorance in action." And also from Jefferson, it says, "It is error alone which needs the support of government. Truth can stand by itself." And when I open my broadcast, I like to say, Daryl, that the sun is rising over Missouri and it's time for a show me showdown. The show me state is the motto of the state of Missouri. And I like to say, show me the law, show me the facts, and show me your evidence. And what is with all of this suppression of truth? What is with all of these revisionists that are out there that are trying to keep us from truth? Back at one of the pamphlets, or not pamphlets, but the handouts that you sent to me, Daryl, this is from Peter DeRosa. This is the title, you titled this sheet, "Is Roman Catholicism Based Upon Lies and Forgeries?" Here's the quote. For seven centuries, the Greeks had called Rome the home of forgeries. Whenever they tried talking with Rome, the popes brought out forged documents, even papal additions to council documents, which the Greeks naturally had never seen. So when you're in control, when you make this combination, this dreadful, frightful combination between church and state, and you lock them up together, they whipsaw the people. They've got you 7 days a week. You know, they got you sitting, standing, and kneeling unbearably all of the time, always into this control. And then, if you can change the religion by changing the words and introducing forgeries and recanting what has been said in the past, it's so much like, you know, all of the stuff that's come down just in the last 20 years, you know, well, even longer than that. You could pick it up anywhere. Shall we go to the moon with the Apollo landers, or shall we pick it up with the Kennedy assassination? Shall we look at the Alfred P. Murrow building and all of that? The suppression of the information about Randy and Vicki Weaver and their life, and the murder of Randy Weaver's wife by Lon Horiuchi, the great marksman, you know, that knows how to shoot a woman holding a baby on her front porch. 9/11, all of that. Always, it's like a repeating formula, and it's a signature. It's a signature of a certain brand of pathological lying. And I think we're really touching the heartbeat of it today.
Yeah, we sure are. And, Peter, you mentioned that quote from Peter DeRosa. Now, that book is, as far as I know, out of print, but it's called Vicars of Christ, The Dark Side of the Papacy, I believe is the subtitle. I was looking for mine. I can't see it right now. But Vicars of Christ, if people want to do a Google search, they want to read a book written by a Roman Catholic who is still a Roman Catholic and exposes the history of the papacy. He's the one that said that 80 popes in a row all blessed the office of the Inquisition and even added to the tortures of it. 80 popes in a row. And he shows that most of the popes of Rome were not godly men, were not moral men. Some of them had the sex orgies in their palaces and some stuff I can't even get into. But basically most of them came from aristocratic Italian families that often fought it out between two or three rivals, and the guy left standing with the most men became pope.
So we're right back up into this idea where we started out in the first hour. We're getting into a little bit of the Reformation and the Counter-Reformation. We're just about to have Ignatius Loyola and his army of Jesuits on the scene. Maybe we could pick up some of the missing pieces of history in that area.
Right, we're going to start off here, pick up on an interesting century, the 16th century, that saw a lot of bloody warfare, and we'll start off with 1540 to 1570, because we have the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church here, what I call later Jesuit-controlled Papal Rome. Actually, from the Council of Trent on, I call it Jesuit-controlled Papal Rome. But anyway, Papal Rome sent professional army after professional army into southern France and the surrounding areas during this 30-year period that succeeded in butchering up to at least 900,000 Waldensian Christian men, women, elderly, and children. And again, this was just like the Albigensian Crusades in the early 13th century. Here in the 16th century, we find them sending professional armies, often supplemented by rapists and murderers that they release from prisons. They seem to always like to do that. That adds to the debauchery, rape, mayhem, and, of course, promising them indulgences if they'll kill these heretics. But again, as with the Albigensian Christians, these Waldensian Christians, most of them were just simple farmers. They were peasants. They were villagers, you know, blacksmiths and stuff. These guys didn't live in gigantic cities usually. Again, very simple people, Bible-believing people, and of course they're called heretics by the Roman Catholic Church, because they won't submit to the authority of Papal Rome. They won't submit to the temporal power of the Pope to rule over all Christians and over all kings and all governments and nations of the world.
Well, you can take a snapshot of that. Look at the Mennonites and the Amish, you know, today. So many of them are, you know, finally getting, you know, to coming together and standing up against Codex Alimentarius and against the HR, I thought it was 2749, I think it is, the Food Safety and Security Bill. They're, you know, coming up against this national animal identification system. You know, as the days and the years pass, so many of the same things keep happening. Here are some people that would just as soon be left alone to live their lives out in close harmony with the creation. And there come, you know, here's the great imperialist stamping the jackboot down again, but not to take away from the time period, just to, as a sidebar there.
Yeah, nothing changes. I mean, as you go through history, and you mentioned it earlier, the worst thing that happens whenever state and church get together. And then you don't always see it initially. A lot of times that stuff's going on behind the scenes, and by the time the genocide starts, it's too late to understand or do anything about this pre-planning that was done to set up a genocide.
I think one of the things, Daryl, and I know we're going to go there when we get to Croatia and stuff, but one of the other parts of it is not only does it all of a sudden start to happen, but you really better have your antenna up or it'll get swept under the carpet. You'll never know it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Croatia is what I call the largely forgotten Vatican Holocaust. I mean, Vatican Holocaust is the term, I believe, that Avro Manhattan gave it to it, and he wrote a book, but you just see over and over again, and that's why we're talking about this stuff. It's not because it's pleasant to talk about mass murder of people and torturing mass torture of people, but it just seems every 50 to 100 years they drag out the same template or the same blueprint or the same overlay, and they just smack it down on a different country, and they go to town on killing everybody that has patriotic nationalist interests or that opposes the church-state structure. I think it was Daniel Defoe, and I don't have it right in front of me, that said, of all the tyrannies which mankind has cursed, ecclesiastical tyranny is the worst.
Yeah.
And, boy, I'll tell you, whenever church and state combine, look out. And sadly, for the Roman Catholic listeners out there, you need to study your own history, like Peter DeRose's Vicars of Christ, and you're going to see that the Roman Catholic Church has throughout the centuries been in bed with totalitarian regimes and for the purpose of killing their enemies.
Absolutely. And folks, we'll be back right after this break with our very special guest, Daryl Eberhardt. Stay tuned.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
And we have returned once again. Got a call there in the during the break, and I kind of lost my train of thought. Perhaps you just helped me out, Daryl, and pick up where you left off.
Well, you mentioned Croatia, and let me read a quote, and then maybe bring the caller on. But here's what Avro Manhattan said about Croatia, the fascist state of Croatia. And I think it's so important because history does indeed repeat, and that's why I'm doing this series with you on missing gaps of history. So here's what he said. Here, and I'm adding in fascist Croatia in the 1940s, the Roman Catholic Church erected a state in complete accord with all her tenets. The result was a monster standing upon the armed might of twin totalitarianisms, the totalitarianism of a ruthless fascist state and the totalitarianism of Catholicism. I'm adding the word Roman Catholicism. What gives to such a creature of Vatican diplomacy its peculiar importance is that here we have an example of the Catholic Church's implementing all her principles unhampered by opposition or by fear of world opinion. I'd just let the listeners know up to 1 million innocent Serb Orthodox Christians were butchered, tortured, murdered, men, women, children, and elderly during this genocide. Back to the quote. The uniqueness of the independent Roman Catholic state of Croatia lies precisely in this, that it provided a model in miniature of what the Roman Catholic Church, had she the power, would like to see in the West and indeed everywhere. As such, it should be carefully scrutinized, for its significance is of the greatest import to all the freedom-loving peoples of the world. That's from his book, The Vatican's Holocaust, 1986, page 9.
And this idea of universalism, you know, folks, there's only one way, and it's my way. If it's not my way, it's the highway. Figures into this discussion really heavily, because there are other interpretations. Who is anyone to say that they have all the truth? And certainly we can see that in order to generate or to create their truth, they've had to go through this long history of forgeries, lies, and fabrications, etc. You know, you have to really question the source. Back at this particular time, where we left off, this 1550 to 1560, we were coming into the point where it's not just the Waldensians or the Albigensians, that's not bad enough, but all throughout the Protestant expansion, if you will, we see similar, it's like an MO, it's a system, it's the modus operandi of this process, but here in this handout that you've sent, 250,000 Dutch Protestants are dying via the same torture, hanging, burning in this 10-year period.
Yeah, and that occurred. We talked about 1540 to 1570, of course, was the attack on the Waldensian Christians. And during that same time period, right in the middle of it, 1550 to 1560, as you mentioned, 250,000 Dutch Protestants, again, men, women, and children, exterminated, tortured, hanged, burned during this 10-year period. And it was the Roman Catholic King of Spain, Philip II, with the blessings of the Pope, that sent 10,000 Spanish troops, professional army, led by the very cruel Duke of Alva, to the Netherlands, in accordance with the Edict of 1550, to stamp out Protestantism there. So we can see that it just over and over again, their response to anybody that challenges their 100% supposed or alleged monopoly on the truth is to be met with death.
And
death and mayhem and murder.
And the warfare method, you know, this is something that, you know, modern students may not have really in their minds firmly as we're talking about this. But when you think about it, folks, a knight in shining armor and chainmail with a 4-foot-long sword who has spent his entire life in leisure, really, practicing his battles and supported by all of his footmen and all of the people that come along with the carts and bring his extra uniforms, you know, and things like that. This is is tantamount to coming into town with a Panzer tank. For somebody that's standing in the field, and we've heard about it over in China recently where people have to try and deal with the army and the military coming into their area. They're armed only with pitchforks or a shovel or something like that. They have no real weaponry. They can't even own a sword. You know, to own a sword would be like owning an AR-14 or whatever. So they're the odds, I mean, it's just like mowing them down, and it's going to be bloody. It's going to be horrible. It's archers, it's spears, it's swords coming into town. And you could just imagine hearing it come, you know, seeing them stack up outside of town, set their camp, build their tents, and then in the morning here comes this long line of gleaming guys on war horses that are 6 feet above you, and what are you going to do? You're going to either run, and if you run, you're like a fox. You're in a hide, and if you hide, they'll find you. And when they find you, they'll treat you just like our troops treat the people in Afghanistan and Iraq. They'll just kill you right there, men, women, and children.
And we saw what is happening here in the 16th century happened in the 20th century. It wasn't just Croatia, but all of World War II, and this may be hard for people who are Roman Catholics to hear, but during World War II, all of the dictators were put into power were Roman Catholic dictators like Hitler and Mussolini. By the way, none of them ever excommunicated for their horrible crimes against humanity, but they were put into power by the Roman Catholic parties and that within their various countries and by Knights of Malta, etc., like Franz von Papen. Then not only do they put them into power, but once they start their war machine going, what are the primary targets? Well, the targets aren't Catholics. The primary, although one country did horribly suffer, and that was Poland, that was Roman Catholic divided, so the papacy will indeed sacrifice some of their own, but the primary people that they went after were the Orthodox Christians in Croatia, but also the Orthodox Christians in the Ukraine, in Russia, in those areas. As the Wehrmacht, the German professional army, went through, right behind them was the Nazi SS with a lot of Roman Catholic priests who had traded in their black priestly outfits for the black uniforms of the SS, and they were the ones that were killing all the Untermenschen, the lower species of people, Slavic Orthodox Christians. But they of course, the main target also was Jews, as most people know, unless you're a total denier of this, up to 6 million Jews that were killed. But another target, like in the northern cities of Germany and Prussia and that, northern Germany, the main part of Germany that we know today, were Protestants. They bombed cities that had mainly just women and children and elderly that had fled into those cities, of no real military thing. So what were the primary targets? It was Protestants, it was Jews, and it was Orthodox Christians that they used these fascist totalitarian regimes that were Roman Catholic regimes, because the leaders were all Roman Catholic, to kill the historic enemies of the Roman Catholic Church. So where's any of that in our history textbooks?
Yeah, and we don't have to, you know, wash our hands like we've got something special to offer either. I mean, when we go in and firebomb Dresden and Nuremberg, and when we detonate the atomic device on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, there's no difference in all of this. I mean, this is a global plan. This is a global agenda. They will turn on anyone to do this.
Yeah, and that's why I mentioned the firebombing of the cities there. That, of course, wasn't done by the Roman Catholic regimes. That was done by the Allies. But then when we look at the Allies, who's running the intelligence services of all three major powers? You have a Roman Catholic Knight of Malta named William Wild Bill Donovan running our OSS. You have a Roman Catholic general named Reinhard Galen running German intelligence on the Eastern Front, and then you have a Soviet intelligence being run by a Knight of Malta named Prince Anton Terkel. So they're all working together to kill, again, as all of the historic enemies of the Roman Catholic Church. And then when the war goes in the favor of the Allies. The Vatican helps all the worst war criminals to escape via the Vatican rat line. So World War II was a totally planned, pre-planned, orchestrated, choreographed Vatican affair.
I don't think there was any way out of it from the time of the Versailles Treaty, but we're jumping ahead and getting out of step here. So maybe let's go back and pick it up again, because there's more of this too. Then there's the when England decided, you know, Henry decided he wanted to have a different wife, when they decided that they were going to break from Rome, ostensibly, they had to go through this revolution, counter-revolution, reformation and restoration, and they went around and around with that there. Well, let's pick it up with England on the other side of this break. We'll be back in 3 minutes, folks.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, visiting today with Daryl Everhart, and the call-in number, folks, if you have a question or a comment, you'd like to get it on the air with us, it's 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You know, as we're going into the break, we just go back over and start to look on the England side of things. I'll go over to jolly old England. But remember, folks, that throughout all of this time period, sometimes they call them the black nobility of Europe. All of these leading families the massive land holdings that they had and so on and so forth. But they're intermarried, they're back and forth, and it's so difficult, Daryl, in my own research, to rightly divide these families and these kings and kingdoms, because as you look into it, you'll find that they're second cousins, first cousins, they married somebody else. Robert Bruce married Maria of Austria, Margaret of Austria, his first wife, and so on. It goes back and forth all over the place, and so what happens in one country, it shouldn't be a surprise to any of us that something very similar happens in another country because they're family.
Yeah, and they sometimes even switch sides occasionally. But what's interesting is that the period we're going to look at now is a subset of that magnifying glass of looking at history, or lens of looking at history through the Reformation, Counter-Reformation, and a subset of that is the battle to recover England for the temporal power of the Pope. And you had alluded to King Henry VIII. There might not have been a Reformation in England had the Catholic Church granted him his annulment of the marriage that he wanted. When they refused, he decided to take over the Catholic Church, which was the predominant religious organization in England up to King Henry VIII. And of course, they didn't grant him his annulment, so he took over and it became the Church of England, or the Anglican Church. And then we saw almost a century of them trying to forcibly bring England back again under the temporal power of the Pope. So let's look at 1553 to 1558. And here we have a Roman Catholic Queen Mary I taking the throne in England. And she's also known as Bloody Mary. And she wants to bring England back under the yoke of papal tyranny, even though the majority, I'd say probably it was divided maybe 50-50 of people who were kind of affected by the Protestant Reformation, and about 50% still Roman Catholic. But they weren't under the temporal power of the Pope. So she wanted to bring them back under what I would call papal tyranny during this 5-year reign of hers. And during this reign, approximately 200 men and women, now some people may think when you're talking 250,000 Dutch Protestants or 900,000 Waldensians, this isn't very many, but still, 200 men and women were burned to death, sometimes very slowly, at the stake, and these victims, for the most part, she was trying to decapitate the scholarly Protestant leadership. It included bishops, scholars, and other Protestant leaders.
Well, this is one of the things that we'll see. This is another one of these various signatures, you know, as we go around and look in all modern warfare, but even all the way back to the time of Darius. Always the intelligentsia, always the spiritual leaders, always the temporal leaders, all of the people that are doctors and things like that, the learned men, they are in the greatest peril at a time of upheaval like this. And so there are lots of smug folk out there who feel that they have earned their wings. They've helped to, they've been complicit in bringing about the destruction of this country from the inside, boring from within. But they are not necessarily treading like the angels on the clouds. They may very well be some of those first that fall, just like these 200 in England.
Exactly. And the next phase of that we see is 1571, 1573, and 1586. Each of these years saw Jesuit-orchestrated attempts to assassinate the Protestant Queen Elizabeth I of England. And again, the papacy had been working overtime to return England to Roman Catholic rule. And one of the reasons that, besides her being a Protestant, that they went after her was she had expelled the Jesuits Queen Elizabeth I had from her kingdom in 1570. So and we'll find this out as we march through history here, anyone that expels the Jesuits or cuts into Roman Catholic power or financial base in their country or kingdom or nation is going to face the wrath of the Jesuit order. But fortunately for Elizabeth, the Jesuits' many attempts at payback failed, and she's one of the probably one of the greatest monarchs that England ever had. By the way, and I don't promote very many Hollywood movies, but Elizabeth the Golden Age is a very good movie about the Spanish Armada coming against England during her raid. I'm trying to look here at the lady's name. Cate Blanchett plays that, Queen Elizabeth. But Elizabeth the Golden Age, you'll really see a lot there about the papal intrigues behind the scenes to take England by frontal assault. You had mentioned a lot happens inward, infiltration of the country, type thing. They often take the country from internally instead of externally. That happened to England. They tried to assassinate Queen Elizabeth numerous times. They tried to blow up the Parliament. I don't know if we'll probably have time to get into that maybe today. There were numerous plots to overthrow England, and which ended up with the major assault was the Spanish Armada in 1588. We'll get to that in a little bit. But when the frontal assault failed, they just infiltrated England with more and more Jesuits, and they threw the Tractarian Society, the Oxford movement, and that they just took over a lot of the leadership within the Anglican Church. They called it the Anglican Catholic faction, and basically they returned England under the temporal rule of the Pope from the inside out. And the same thing, I think, happened in America. They couldn't take us by frontal assault. The Civil War didn't achieve its American Civil War didn't achieve all of their objectives, one of which was to break the country in half, maybe have Civil War II and III later, which they may have eventually coming up.
Which may not be in the far too distant future.
But anyway, let's get into 1572, because we see now a lot of bloodshed switches to France during this time again. They had gone again after the Waldensian Christians, we remember, but here you have the Protestants called Huguenots in France. And in 1572, we have French Roman Catholic soldiers, again professional soldiers, begin killing Protestants in Paris on the night of August 24th, 1572. It's called the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre. They killed at least 10,000 Protestants just during the first 3 days. And by the way, this was all a surprise. They had been invited for a wedding. They had invited the top leader, Admiral Coligny of the Protestants, and they hadn't been able to defeat the Protestant army on the battlefield, so they got all these people there for the wedding, and then at a certain hour, all of the of Catholic troops under this king of France rose up and started slaughtering Protestants. But anyway, there were at least 8,000 more Protestants in addition to the 10,000 were initially killed, were killed as the slaughter spread to the countryside. Here's what Jack Chick wrote about this episode of religious genocide. On the night of August 24, 1572, the bloody St. Bartholomew Massacre began. This was to be one fatal blow to destroy the Protestant movement in France. The King of France, of course he's Roman Catholic, had cleverly arranged a marriage between his sister and Admiral Coligny, the chief Protestant leader. There was a great feast with much celebrating. After 4 days of feasting, probably wait until everybody's pretty drunk and stuff, the soldiers were given a signal. At 12 o'clock midnight, all the houses of the Protestants in the city were forced open at once. The admiral was killed, his body thrown out of a window into the street with his head cut off, and it was sent, I believe, first to the Roman Catholic Cardinal of Lorraine and then on to the Pope. They also slaughtered many other well-known Protestants. In the first 3 days, over 10,000 were killed. The bodies were thrown into the river, and blood ran through the streets into the river until it appeared like a stream of blood. From Paris, the destruction spread to all parts of the country. Over 8,000 more people were killed. Very few Protestants escaped the fury of the Roman Catholic persecutors. That's from his book, Smokescreens. Let's jump back to England, because now we see in 1580, there's a plot called the Babington Plot, and all these plots are named after one of the arch-conspirators. But the Babington Plot to assassinate Queen Elizabeth I of England was hatched in this year. And here's what Canadian historian J.E.C. Shepherd tells us about this period. He says, the Babington Plot, Jesuit intrigue in Elizabeth England, that's the name of his book. He says, the Babington Plot was hatched, probably was the greatest of the many plots of the Pope and the Jesuits during the reigns of Queen Elizabeth I, and he's talking about King James I, designed to bring about the downfall of Protestant England, the overthrow of the Reformation in England, Scotland, and Ireland, and to place some other claimant, of course it would be a Roman Catholic claimant, upon the throne who would be acceptable to Rome and committed to bring the English in submission to the sovereignty of Papal Rome. Between 1569 and 1605, of gunpowder plot infamy, there were no less than, get this listeners, 11 great plots against Elizabeth and English Protestantism, working toward assassination, rebellion, and invasion. Each is known by the name of the leader of the treachery, Ridolfi, Sanders, of course Pope Gregory XIII, Campion, which was a Jesuit priest, Parsons, which is another Jesuit priest, Robert Parsons, Duke of Guise, G-U-I-S-E, Allen, which is the Roman Catholic cardinal, Throgmorton, Parry, Babington, Sixtus V, that's Pope Sixtus V, Philip II of Spain, York, Walpole, Southwell, and Guy Fawkes.
Oh, my.
And we'll finish that quote when we get back.
That is a long list. Okay, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with 2 cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
We have returned on our last and final segment of today's two-hour broadcast. We're visiting with Daryl Everhart. Again, his website is www.toughissues.org. That's toughissues.org. Much of what we've been discussing you can find there in easy-to-understand and comprehend timelines and small papers. Just go there, visit, read, and understand that there's so much to learn in all this. Now, as we're going into the break, Daryl, you gave out a long list of names. And, folks, when we talk about researching and things like that, go back and listen to the archives. But this would be an opportunity for you to use your browser on the computer, go into the encyclopedias, any reference materials that you might have. And if you follow out each of those names, just explore through them, you might find a week, maybe 10 days or 2 weeks' worth of research that will really help you to understand just how deep this problem lies, and what kind of a foe we might be facing, Daryl.
Yeah, and get it while you can, there, listeners, because a lot of that history is being erased. There's a, I wish I could think of the name of the book right now. I can't see it. But there's a book by Albert Close, and it's about all these Jesuit plots to overthrow England. And he points out in the book that, oh, gee, back in the, I guess, mid-1900s and that, they started appointing a lot of Roman Catholics to all of these archive records, and I can't think of the British term for it. But anyway, they started erasing and losing, conveniently losing, I should say, a lot of the records that pointed out about these various papal intrigues. But we were talking about between 1569 and 1605 that there had been no less than 11 major plots to assassinate the head of government in England, primarily Elizabeth, but also James I. And we had got to the point where they named all of these plots after some of the key leaders of them. And I'll finish that quote. He says, "There can be no doubt whatsoever, but that the Pope of Rome was very much interested as well as vitally involved in all of these attempts." And then he finishes up the Babington plot. Of course, that was to invade England, assassinate Queen Elizabeth I, incite a rebellion, and in place Roman Catholic Mary Stuart on the throne. Back to the quote, "The Babington plot took its name from Anthony Babington, a young English gentleman, but the real brains behind the conspiracy were the Pope, Cardinal Allen, the Jesuits, and the Roman Catholic priest named John Ballard."
And I think if we were to think along the lines, folks, of, you know, the Pope is concerned for his flock, you know. He doesn't want people to, you know, get the wrong religious training in their lives. You know, I don't think there could be anything more facetious in all of that than, you know, talking about the man on the moon. This is largely about money. It's about power. It's about control of land, land, labor, and capital, being able to field people. You think about, you know, oh, the poor Catholic Church, you know, and they're all broken and they're, you know, powerless, you know. But every single Sunday, you know, they pass the hat and they get their tithes, and when people die, they leave their lands and so on and so forth. This is big business. This is big money. And to think that it's just from a moral or an ethical standpoint that these revolutions and counter-revolutions happened, we would have to be smoking something other than tobacco.
But yeah, we need to not think of the Roman Catholic Church as that, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but as the building, as many people do, that's in their hometown with a steeple on top of it with a cross. And they think Roman Catholic Church, it's just a church. It is the greatest, largest, most powerful, geopolitical, financial, religious, so think of it, it's all three of those terms, geopolitical, financial, religious, juggernaut, that the world has seen over the past, well, over 1900 years.
And so, underlie that with law. You know, the Roman law, Juris Civilis, has been instrumental in the shaping of all laws. When we think of this idea of in the rise of statism, there's an all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law, that in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, or the revealed law, you might say, all of the natural law, and has returned it as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. And it just sums up for me, Daryl, all of what we see in Western law and going even into the Orient. You know, obviously the Sharia is fighting it, it's rebelling against it, it's embroiled in this law, this battle. But all of our law comes from these very same sources too. And just, you know, look at the panopticon, look at the control mechanism that's set up in this way. It's a universal system, it's a global system, and I think it's one that absolutely, you know, it deserves every moment that we can use right here on the air on Become Vocal Local to expose it to the bright light of truth and bring it out into the air so that people can look at it. And yes, you're absolutely right, Daryl. The people that are dusting the pews, just like they would be at the Protestant church or any of the other denominations, all of the little daughters of the big church, they have the same problem that they have to deal with. At the top, there is so much corruption, folks, that you just couldn't believe it.
Japan, they've been heavily infiltrated. The Protestant churches have, and that's something that a lot of Protestants can't understand because they can't think of themselves going and infiltrating the Catholic Church. But the Jesuits, one of their primary things is infiltration. And I'll tell them next week, because we're not going to rush, I'll tell them next week how to get this book. But it's Jesuit Plots from Elizabethan to Modern Times by Dr. Albert Close. And it covers a lot of this period in England, all of these various plots. And again, he points out how they appointed their own people to, and again, I can't think of the name, I'm looking for it, their major archival and historical sections within the government. They've appointed Roman Catholics to these, and a lot of this stuff is starting to disappear. But fortunately, this man even recorded some of the messages sent back between the Pope and King Philip II of Spain, I think it was, that launched the Spanish Armada, and we'll get into that next week. But you mentioned about all of the passing the plate and the donations and all the money that the Catholic Church gets from that. But not only that, but they have people not only leaving them, as you also mentioned, you know, great land estates, like the Jesuit novitiate that we have here in Pennsylvania, but they have millions and millions of Catholics putting their last pennies in, even poor people, to try to pay and pray their dear loved ones out of purgatory.
Yeah.
So it is a massive, massive money-making machine, not to mention all of the corporate holdings in the United States and Europe and other places that Papal Rome has, not to mention all of their banking
with
many Knights of Malta. So we, yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, if you go through the ledgers, folks, whether you go to the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Council for National Policy, where you go and look at the upper echelons of the leadership, look at all the people who are special adjutants or appointees under in the United Nations beast system. Look at all of the banks, the corporations, the media, et cetera. Keep tracking these people back. Look at Carol Quigley, you know, at Georgetown. Look at all of the people that have graduated from these Jesuit or Catholic universities, you know, Georgetown being, I believe, in the United States the first, but all of the Ivy League schools and all of that. Look throughout the whole spectrum and start to wrap your mind around this idea globally, internationally. All of the universities and the colleges where they train the people up, and they train the people up, whether you start in the parochial schools, my brother and my two elder sisters did, where, no matter where you start your educational process, if the nuns, you know, slap your fingers with that ruler, if you've got that in your past, you started learning there. And by the time you graduate out of these universities, you're advanced, if you're faithful, you're advanced into the most powerful, influential positions that you could ever imagine, and then they just basically dictate and run the planet from that standpoint.
And a lot of people don't know the Jesuits have many colleges here in the United States, not just Georgetown, which, by the way, trains a lot of our diplomats and stuff in their Foreign Service Institute, but Boston College, Loyola of Chicago, Creighton. There are many, many, and the Jesuits are educators. They love to be educators, father confessors to presidents and generals and their mistresses, and that is how they have their great power base, and of course also through the confessional, which is the greatest intelligence gathering system. You think the Catholic Church claims a billion people, and even if only 500 million of them go to confession, anything of interest, by the way, is not just kept with the priest. It gets passed up to the Monsignor and the bishop above him, to the archbishop, to the cardinal, and to the pope himself. And of course, then to the Black Pope, who sits behind the throne of the White Pope. Greatest, there's MI6, CIA, the old KGB, which is now the FSB. They don't make up 1/10,000th of the intelligence gathering capability of Jesuit-controlled Papal Rome.
Well, we're almost out of time, Daryl. Again, thank you so much for coming back and visiting with us. We'll see you again next Wednesday, folks. I'll be back again tomorrow. We'll pick up the thread once more with Vicki Davis and look at the IT side of all of this. Until then, folks, have a great day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free.
Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.